So, this time of year, you might be thinking more about the beach than your bottom line, but now might be the best time of year to ask for a pay rise, believe it or not. And joining me now to talk more about this is Chris Foster Ramsey, Principal Finance Broker at Foster Ramsey Finance. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Omar.
So, it seems counterintuitive, but apparently now is a good time to ask for a pay rise.
Yeah, well, it's generally we find that we find from speaking with our customers that the end of the year is just as much about the Christmas party as it is about the salary review. And for those wanting to buy in the next 12 months, they've got an idea of where that new salary needs to sit or that new package needs to sit.
And from the conversations that you're having or the conversations that you're planning, what are you expecting to see? We know that we've got a tight labour market. We know that cost of living pressures are about as high as they've been for, well, they are as high as they've been for quite a long time. We know that wages aren't increasing anywhere near the rate of inflation on average. So what is it that you think is going to happen? Are people going to get what they're looking for?
Well, I'm not quite sure, but every case is different. Every employer is different. Every small business owner and medium sized business is different as well as to what they can offer their employees. But I guess if we look at it from my area of expertise being that of lending, what we've seen is some research come out from a couple of research houses in the last week or so where if you want to buy a house now, 2024 or beyond, they looked at the borrowing capacity difference between a low interest rate environment compared to what it is now. And the research found that in order to be able to borrow the same amount of money that you would have in prior to the rate rise changing, you would now need to be in Melbourne and Sydney in the top tier of the tax bracket, so 180 plus, and the rest of the country you'd need to be sort of north of 130 just to be able to qualify for the same amount of borrowing capacity that you had prior to 2022 when rates started to move. So
that's a pretty bonkers stat, isn't it? I mean, as a person, doesn't matter how old you are, if you're trying to buy your first home, you've been gearing up, you've been preparing, you've been planning, and then all of a sudden you need to earn, I mean, I don't know what the 180K bracket, I mean, as you say, it's the top bracket. So if you suddenly needed to get yourself into that in order to just get into the home market or the house market for the first time, that's going to be a pretty demoralizing and depressing reality for most. So are you seeing young people and first home buyers sort of giving up on the dream, so to speak, and reprioritizing other things in their life? Or are people finding ways to figure it out and leaning on family and friends and other things?
Yeah, look, all of the above. So if we look at, dealing with the situation for those particular individuals now, what we're seeing is that we're redoing the borrowing capacity and working out how much they can currently borrow, and having that type of meeting with them now. A couple of things will generally happen. One will be that particular individual will still want to stay in the same area. Excuse me. Still want to stay in the same area, but will need to compromise on the size of the home.
Right.
So maybe smaller, or look out in the rig of suburbs around it, or in a completely different location in line with the price bracket. Now, if they want to stay in the same location, sometimes where families can, we are seeing family help kick in the way of family guarantors, early inheritance, cash gifts, non-interest bearing family loans, that sort of stuff. We are seeing that.
Yeah, and fair enough too, I would imagine. So with all of this in mind, with the clients that you work with, how are they looking at work and looking at their jobs What are the types of expectations that they're putting on their employers these days? Are you seeing that there's, an increasing sense of frustration with their employers? Are people saying, hang on a second, part of this relationship is you being able to help me live a life, and at the moment you're not doing that, and therefore you need to do better, Mr. or Mrs. Employer?
I don't have that generally have that conversation with our customers, but where that information is volunteered, it generally sounds like they're doing their own type of skills assessment against what the rest of the market is, and going to the employer and saying, look, this is the job I do, this is the market that we're in, I really love you guys, I really want to stay there, but this is what I want to do for the next 12 months. Can you, come to the party in terms of a salary or REM review of some description to be able to help me achieve that? Now, if I can't achieve that, all the cards on the table here, I may need to look elsewhere. And that's a pretty confronting conversation. I mean, if I look at it as in terms of if that would happen to me, one of our guys come to us, that would be a pretty confronting conversation as an employer. But you want to try and look after your staff, and you want to try and keep the culture positive and moving forward and growing. but as a business owner, there's only so much you can do, particularly in the current environment.
Yeah, and I mean, unemployment is at a very low level in here in Victoria anyway. I believe it's at 3.5% or something like that. So point being, for employers, finding great people is really difficult. And so therefore, in that regard, as an employee, there certainly is some bargaining power, so to speak. So let's just shift gears slightly then and talk about housing and communities and lifestyles surrounding it. With this reality, and you talked about individuals perhaps needing to opt for smaller homes and or different areas, are we seeing that communities and housing is evolving in different areas to try and offer a more compelling lifestyle in perhaps the less obvious places than before?
Yeah, I think so. I think over the last couple of years, we've really seen that local hub. Some people call it local hub. Some people call it community. Some people call it local area market. What we see really is communities wanting to grow their own communities so that they attract people that want to live there. And I think that, for me, when you look at something like that, it always comes back to the general rules of property, which, depending on which book you read, look like, availability of infrastructure, availability of business and retail, and education, close to work, close to home, that sort of whole 20-minute city type, analogy. So, I think that where clients love that community and want to stay in that community, they're pretty much doing anything they can to stay in that community. And what we see as a key driver of that is being in an area that's close to where they grew up, and being able to be close to key family members, particularly as the ones that are getting on in life, older, those kids feel they have an obligation to look after their family as they get older, depending on the family situation or culture and what that dictates. So the drive to live close in those communities to family, at the expense of perhaps something a little bit smaller than it was in 2022, is certainly a driver from what we see and what we hear on a regular basis.
Well, it seems to be that compromise needs to be a theme in so many of the conversations and seemingly housing and first homes certainly at the moment as well, which isn't necessarily a good thing. But as I always say, in the challenge lies the opportunity, and I'm sure we'll figure it out together. That's Chris Foster Ramsey, the Principal Finance Broker at Foster Ramsey Finance, talking all things homes. This is me, Omar De Silva, Enterprise Breakfast on Disrupt Radio.